Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. It's a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. Today is episode 425. Today we're looking at 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 through 22. Let's read our passage. So then, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I am speaking as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I am saying. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, since all of us share the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? What am I saying then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But I do say that what they sacrifice to demons, and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? This is Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth. He had founded the church 5 years earlier on his second missionary journey while he was in Corinth, and now he's on his third missionary journey. He's in Ephesus, and he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. They have sent him a letter with some questions, more challenges really than questions, it seems, that they were concerned about something Paul had either written to them earlier or told them in person or sent via emissary, but Paul told them that they shouldn't be going to the pagan temples and participating in the pagan worship feasts. And they've challenged him on that. Part of their challenge is they challenge Paul's authority as an apostle. Who gives you the authority to really tell us to do that? And so chapter 9 was really Paul defending his authority as an apostle to tell them these things. But they also argued that we're Christians now. We know that these idols don't mean anything. So us going and eating, we're not worshiping anything, and there is nothing there to be worshiped. So what's the big deal? And so this seems to be a fairly long argument, and it is. And Paul seems to be making a big deal out of it, which he is. So they're saying it's no big deal. Paul's saying, yes, it is a big deal. Back in chapter 8, he said, okay, you know that there is no pagan god. But not everybody else knows that, and what you do affects others. So if some people who are brand new Christians, they're just out of that lifestyle, they're not so sure about some of these things, and you're taking them to the pagan worship feast, you're really leading them astray. So that was one aspect, was the call to voluntarily restrict their own freedom for the sake of others. Now he's really hammering it home with the big deal. His last time we saw is he talked about the history of the Israelites as they were coming toward the promised land and all the judgments that they encountered from God because of their dabbling in idolatry. And we can see where this is all leading in that Paul's saying, and what you guys are doing when you go to the pagan temples and participate in these feasts dedicated to the pagan deities, or that's idolatry, and you're dabbling in idolatry. So now today, verse 14, he says, so then, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. He's wrapping it up here, really bringing it home to the bottom line. So he gives a little warmth here, my dear friends, but then he lays it out, flee from idolatry. And there's no question what he's talking about here. This is just a general, and if you happen to encounter idolatry, flee from it. So what you guys are doing is idolatry. You're dabbling in idolatry, and that's what got the Israelites in trouble when they left Mount Sinai and were wandering in the wilderness. And you guys are doing the same thing. Verse 15. I'm speaking as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I am saying. Now, earlier he was kind of sarcastic when he talked about their knowledge. This isn't sarcasm here. He says, okay, I'm using a sensible argument. I'm speaking to sensible people. You're sensible people. So judge for yourselves what I'm saying. Now, he's not saying You can judge the rightness or wrongness of any of this. What he's saying is, essentially, any sensible person's going to follow my line of thought here and agree with me, because there's no way to disagree, because what you guys are doing is idolatry. Quit doing it. And I'm laying it out very plainly here. You guys should be able to follow my argument. Now he starts talking about the Lord's Supper. And be careful here, although there's some things we can learn. This is not a teaching about the nature of the Lord's Supper. He's using the Lord's Supper, what they know about the Lord's Supper, as an example to make the point. He's talking about going to the pagan temples, but he's using a comparison to what they understand of the Lord's Supper. Verse 16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? His point here is that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that is an act of worship. That is connecting with God through what we do, connecting with God and each other. That's why we do it as a group, as a community. It's something we do to unify us, to draw us closer to God. It is an act of worship when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And he goes on, verse 17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, since all of us share the one bread. Now, this is not a teaching on how to do the mechanics of the Lord's Supper. This is talking about the unity of the body of Christ, the unity of those of us together in the church. When we come together and celebrate the Lord's Supper, we come together under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to connect with God. It's worship, and it's an act of unifying the body. So when we do this, we're unified together, and we're connecting with God. You guys know this about the Lord's Supper. Then he throws in an example of the Old Testament sacrifices. Verse 18, consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Whole point here is that it's an act of unity, an act of worship. Now, he's not providing teaching here about the Lord's Supper or about the Old Testament sacrifices. He's using them as an example. Now, based on what you know about these things, that is Old Testament sacrifice and the Lord's Supper, now let's step back and look at what's going on in the pagan temples. Verse 19. What am I saying then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I do say that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. He's making the deal about going to the pagan temples. Their argument is, these are idols made by human hands. They're not representing real deities, real gods. And Paul's saying, yeah, am I saying that they are? No, I'm not. But something they're not saying that Paul is, he says in verse 20, no, but do say what they sacrifice is sacrifice to demons. So he says, there is a spiritual reality here. You guys are missing this. It's not just that that's some idol that some person made and put there. Yeah, it is, but there's more to it than that. There is a spiritual reality to this. And it's not the pagan god. It's demonic. Demonic activity is behind these pagan temples. And when they're sacrificing, making these sacrifices to their pagan deity, they're really sacrificing to demons. And if you're there participating in that, you're participating in a worship service dedicated to demonic activity. The reason he talked about the Lord's Supper is you understand the Lord's Supper is an act of worship and a unifying act that we do together. You do a similar kind of thing in the pagan temple. That is an act of worship, a worship to demonic activity, and an act of unity with those who worship demons. And so you see the incompatibility here? You can't do this. Back in verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons. But saying as a follower of Christ, it is absolutely incompatible to your faith as a Christian to go and participate in pagan worship feasts. Those are services of worship to demonic activity, and you can't go participate in worship of demons and be a follower of Christ. It doesn't work. It's incompatible. You can't do that. But I'm saying here, I'm urging you not to do this. Back in verse 14, it says, flee from idolatry. Now he's hammering home, and what you guys are doing is idolatry. So quit it. Knock it off. And what you're doing is incompatible with being a follower of Christ. We're not talking issues of freedom here. We're talking incompatibility of faith. You can't worship God and worship demons. Verse 22, or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? What he's saying here, this goes back to Old Testament, where the Lord says, do not worship other gods. And several times he says, I am a jealous God. And by jealous doesn't mean, you know, the negative thing, oh, he's just so green with jealousy. What he means is he will not tolerate pursuing other gods, chasing after other gods, idolatry. God says, I will not tolerate idolatry. And provoking the Lord to jealousy, well, we see the judgments of the Old Testament when he was provoked to jealousy. That was what he talked about last time with all these things that happened to the Israelites as they were about to enter the promised land because of their idolatry. So if you're going and participating in pagan worship services, you're provoking the Lord to jealousy. And he adds, are we stronger than he? Saying here simply is, are you challenging God on this? Are you daring God to do something about this? Are you going to stand there and say to God, yeah, maybe you don't think God will do this, but I'm going to do it. And what are you going to do about it? That's pretty dangerous. Now, how does this apply to us? We don't live around the corner from pagan temples where they worship idols, this idolatry. But idolatry is a much more subtle thing. Idolatry is an issue of the heart. What is an idol? An idol is anything that takes the attention that God deserves in our lives. Certain things in the Bible, certain words that are reserved for God, worship, devotion, fear, all those things are reserved for God. And if we worship or are devoted to, desire above all else, fear other than God, that's idolatry. Idolatry is where our heart's desire is on something else above our heart's desire for God. Was that all demonic? In some respects, yes. But Satan knows what we're desiring after, what we're lusting after, what we're envious of. And he will use those things to trip us up and draw us away from God. So we're not tempted to run down to the corner pagan temple and participate in a demonic worship service and eat a meal where it's been dedicated and sacrificed to demonic powers. But demonic activity is still active. And demonic activity is not intended to make us unhappy. Too often when we get things are going bad, we say, oh, I'm just under spiritual attack. No, no, it's not. The goal of demonic activity is not to make us unhappy. The goal of a demonic activity is to draw our attention away from God, to draw our obedience away from God, to draw our devotion away from God. Demonic activity is still alive and well, and anything that takes our attention away from God and steals the desire of our hearts, which rightly belongs to God, that's idolatry. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through 1 Corinthians